It's Monday, March 31st, 2014, and welcome to episode 163 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
I'm Mike Gioia.
I'm Cindy Ritt, and we have a special guest.
Brian Murley.
Welcome, Brian. Brian is a professor in our journalism department here at EIU, and we've invited him in today to kind of mix it up a little bit. And we'll be talking a little bit about a podcast that Brian does. We will also have a segment on World Backup Day. Today, March 31st, is World Backup Day, so make sure you go out and have your backups completed. And then we'll finish it up with our Tech Picks of the Week. So let's go ahead and get started, and here we go. Up first today, we have a special guest with us, and we have Brian Murley from our journalism department here at EIU. So welcome, Brian.
Glad to be here.
What I would like to do is, Brian is actually a fellow podcaster, and we run into each other up and down the halls every now and then, and we kind of compare our notes. And I just wanted to invite Brian in to share some of the things that he does. So could you just kind of start out with the podcast that you're doing?
Yes, we do a podcast called College Media Podcast with a colleague, advisor, Dan Reimold, and we talk about an issue in college media every week, and I dig up a tool for journalism students to use in their work.
Okay, and what's the name of the podcast?
College Media Podcast.
And where can we find it on the web?
A couple of places, but the easiest place is collegemediapodcast.libsyn.com.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's not complicated at all.
we can put a link in the show notes and things. That's one of the things, you know, whenever we do all of these things, one of the reasons that we do our show is for communication, you know, to kind of spread the word and just kind of have a conversation about technology and teaching and learning. But I have the same problem because, and you also do, because you have a blog.
Yes.
You have a podcast, you know, you have a website, you know, you're probably using WordPress or something like that. So all this information is kind of scattered. Mm-hmm. So for us, we've just kind of made the ITC website our homepage. So if you go to eiu.edu/ITC, that's kind of a jumping off point for some of the different things. If you don't mind, could I play your last podcast, which you just posted this week?
So yes,
hot off the press here. So let me just play just a few seconds here to kind of give you a flavor of what the College Media Podcast is about.
Hello, and welcome to the College Media Podcast. I'm Brian Murley from the Innovation in College Media weblog.
And I'm Dan Reimold with College Media Matters.
And for this week of March 24th, 2014,
okay,
we have...
I'll just fade that one out there. So that's kind of the start. Nice introduction with the music and
nice
things.
Nice little teaser with it. We have a controversy.
Yeah, get the hook in there. That's He's a journalist, you know. Absolutely. Get that headline in there right away. So, but now your partner, so you are in two... We talked about this last time, Cindy, you know, having people in two different
locations,
and you truly do, because your partner's where?
In Philadelphia.
All right, so that's more than a couple hours drive.
Yeah, that's right.
from here at Eastern Illinois University. So how do you do that? Are you doing phone? Are you doing Skype? Or
we do Google
Hangouts.
No, we actually use Gmail, and I call him on his computer, and then I record it using a program called Wiretap Pro for the Macintosh.
Okay,
which can record two sources simultaneously, and that's what we do. We haven't started using Hangouts yet. You know, seeing each other, we're just sort of using vocal cues.
Well, that would be hard, you know, as we discussed last time, hard, because I don't know if there's much of a delay with the Google technology.
No, every once in a while we'll get some internet issues,
yeah,
with either his side or my side, but normally it works pretty well.
Yeah. And then you're able to take that out and do the edits. What are you using for editing? GarageBand or
Wiretap Pro has an editing function in it that actually adds little fade outs and fade ins to make the edits less apparent than GarageBand. So I do the edits in there, export it as an MP3, and then put it in GarageBand to add the beginning and ending music.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's similar to what we do. We use Audacity here and then paste the music in the beginning and come through. Sometimes we've done a couple of shows live, but you're seeing our studio here. I'm running a mixer with a left hand here and trying to have conversations. It's hard to do when, you know, whenever you're running the mixer and everything. So what got started? How long have you been doing the media podcast?
Well, I originally had done a podcast probably in 2004, several episodes, but it was basically me.
Yeah.
And that got old after a while.
Yeah.
And so about 18 months ago, I approached Dan with the idea of doing a podcast every week. And we've worked out some issues along the way. We start out with three topics, and that proved to be too long. We wanted it to be about 10 minutes. But the tool has been every week along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's how we got started. And we have about 50 followers.
Which, that's good. One of the things that's always a struggle, I started helping with students 2004, 2005, you know, where podcast was the new thing, you know, back then coming up. And then, you know, about 2 years into it, and probably your experience too, it seemed to fade away. It's the kind of one of those, as I said, educational fads where it's going to change the world, and then nobody does. Then we picked it up again in 2007, and one of the reasons that I started this one was because of professional development out there for teachers, and, you know, just get kind of tired of going to a conference, and you go to this one session, and then, okay, see, and you have the same thing,
yeah.
I'm sure. You know, see you next year. In fact, you guys just had a conference, didn't you?
Yes,
did you
did.
Make it out, what, New
in
York?
New York, okay. Yes.
So, you know, how do you keep that continuity going? And it's interesting because you guys, I don't know if you call them tech picks of the week or whatever.
I call it the tool.
Tool
tip.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, last show, I believe I used your Hemingway app.
Yes. You know,
that we talked about. And then since then, there was another one I was telling Cindy about. You were talking about writing and verb strength and
Espresso.
Okay, we will make sure you visit our show notes, because I'll be providing these links. And you also shared with me, you kind of have a cumulative list now.
Yes, I took right before the conference, I took and put all of them into a Google spreadsheet, and they're organized under different topics: photography, writing, design, you know, web stuff. So they're all listed in a single place, and I'm sure you'll have the link to
that. I'll provide the link out there, and that's a very nice feature, because people don't realize that, you know, we throw out these tools or things, and it's like, well, that took 5 minutes to say that, but you might have done 5, 10, 15, 20 hours of research to find that one specific tool that really can save you a lot of time or be very, very helpful in the classroom. Other things that you're doing is besides the podcasting for your students and classes, I guess you probably should say, you know, what courses are you specifically teaching and what areas?
I teach Intro to Multimedia Journalism, and also Journalism and Democracy. I'm also the online advisor for the Daily Eastern News. So every time I find a tooltip that I think would be useful to them, I will share it with the Daily Eastern News online editor, and also in class, and we'll talk about, you know, different ways that you can use, you know, Storify for Twitter, for instance, or ThingLink for photos, stuff like that.
Yeah, the other really great thing about podcasts is once you go out and search and discover something, you have all that back catalog, and I've listened to yours, you know, going back through, and I typically try starting with the most recent and kind of go back, because things, especially in technology, change. So a tool you might be using 3 years ago, you know, today there might be one 10 times better. So that's something to keep in mind. But there's a lot of valuable information and things out there. And for us, it's kind of served as kind of a historical archive, especially with the Web 2.0 tools, because we've gone through the evolution of the early days of the Wild Wild West. Now it's becoming more mature, and we're seeing these big companies buy these smaller companies. That's still going on today.
We've actually had a couple of tools that have disappeared.
Yeah, that's too. I mean, you know, even going back to the days of Writely, and then they had presentations, became Google Slides, and, you know, I guess those were good picks, because another company decided to buy them and use them again. But it's really interesting. It's fun. If somebody were wanting to start a podcast, what would be some of your advice on getting started?
Well, just like starting a blog, I would suggest that you pick a niche and something that you enjoy, and you try to find a format. I would suggest at least having a couple of people. It's very difficult to do a single-person podcast and really keep it up. It's like doing stand-up comedy or something.
Right, yeah, that's why I appreciate Mike and Cindy here.
Yeah, yeah, when I figured I was brought on at first sort of as the color man for Tom's.
Or woman in this case.
And then Mike joined the party and things got even more interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think it works well, you know, kind of as this educational technology piece, because you're dealing with all of the, you know, you're the expert in teaching primary sources. And then Mike's security, there's always something right. that, you know, an average teacher probably doesn't like to think about all the time, but yet is absolutely necessary to make all of these things work.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's kind of important now, I guess.
It's very important now, and you always want to be friends with that IT department, because, you know, just all the things, you know, if you've listened to our latest episode, there's always a new hack or something going on, and, you know, how do you protect yourself the best you can from some of those things?
Don't click on emails with just links.
Do that's not, yes. Exactly. Do not click on the links. That's a common refrain around here.
And don't leave your Facebook open in the newsroom.
Okay. In fact, I just, you know, to talk about cloud computing and things, I just went out here. I was checking iTunes, and I don't know if our iTunes officially went away, our EIU iTunes or not, but I didn't find it available out here on the Mac here in my lab that I had. But somebody's iCloud account was still logged in from last night, but it had timed out, so they've got some things out there. But be particularly in a public, you know, lab environment, just get in the habit of logging out.
I went into our lab up here and had at the teacher station, someone had left the instructor's computer on, and I opened up Google Chrome and to check my email.
Right.
And someone else's Gmail account came up.
Yeah, had that little checkbox that says "Keep me logged in."
And I sent them an email.
Yeah, you might want to be a little more careful.
Your password.
Yeah. So
well, that's kind of the thing that bugs me is the security guy is that's always to default, that box is always checked.
Yes,
on Google.
Yes, it bothers me too, because I always uncheck it, but it's so easy to get distracted, and it, you know, that one time that you don't uncheck it.
Yeah, it's like it's the opposite of what we want to happen for the security. You know, like the other one with Adobe Flash Player, it's always, do you want these 15 other toolbars?
Right.
Like, it's automatically checked. Right. I'm like, I just want to update my
my Surface on this morning. I had a QuickTime. It's like, do you want to download iCloud? Do you want to download iTunes?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I just want an update for QuickTime.
Just tell me it's available and let me decide. And don't pre-decide for me.
Yeah, so these are always moving targets. So anything else, Brian, here? We'll wrap up here, and thanks to share with our audience.
My suggestion to students, journalists with all these tools is, you know, find something that you like and try it out. And if it doesn't work, move on to something else. If you try podcasting, and if you don't like it,
right,
it's nothing lost, but a little bit of time.
But if you have that interest, you know, the key is get started, because there's always going to be a reason to delay it or something. And your first one, I mean, my first one was terrible, and, you know, gradually get a little better. I think we're reasonable now with where we've come. But, you know, those first, you know, it's like learning to walk or anything else. It takes a while to find your legs.
The other thing I would mention is to keep a schedule.
Yeah.
We do this weekly, and we're a little bit ambitious at the beginning, but then once we got into it, we have stuff to talk about every week.
Which, actually, whenever I first started this, it was weekly for like a little 5-minute update was my plan. But I was finding that I was spending about 8 hours kind of writing a script, you know, for that little 5 minutes. You know, everybody kind of laughs, but if you've done it, you know, it's time consuming.
We don't have a script.
That's why we have my caller woman here.
Yeah, that's right.
We talk for 5 minutes before, say, what do you want to talk about today?
And then 45 minutes later.
But that's the formula for a successful podcast, because it's topical, and, you know, whenever you're doing that, you want to hear, you know, what's the latest, greatest type thing. And that's kind of what we do with the security things, because, you know, we walk in the morning, there's there's two or three things that are new, you know, this time here to do that. But the important piece is to get started, to make those gradual improvements. You don't need a ton of equipment. Every year I buy like a microphone or something a year. So this is an experiment. This is the first time we've had four people here in the studio. So see if my mixer is going to melt down over here. But
and I just think what you're doing is so interesting, because just careers in social media and what's going on out there right now with young people, whether it's blogs or podcasts or whatever, and that so many young people are looking at that for a career path. that that's what they want to do. And so there are all these different things, different avenues they can take. And so whether it's a podcast or if you don't feel comfortable and with audio and that, to do the writing or pictures or whatever it is your strength is. And so it's cool that you've got all these different options that you can figure out what you do best.
Yeah.
And then put your information out there the way that you can do it best.
Yeah, and I don't know how your students are, but audio is a little bit more friendly, in my opinion, for students, because you put a camera, you know, a video camera, and we're just much more self-conscious of, you know, what we look like. But and that's why I enjoy the audio, and, you know, back in the day, the radio, you know, talk radio and all of that is just, to me, a little bit more relaxed.
And it's also, it's you don't need your visual senses. You can listen to it while you're driving. You can listen to it while you're in the in the rec center.
Yeah, and you can be doing multitasking, doing different things, which is, you know, for busy teachers, it's a great medium.
Yes, and I would also mention one of the things that I always try to do with the tools is to find something that's free and easy.
Yeah.
And they're content creation tools. So in education, K through 12, even higher ed, you know, content creation is what students do, you know, and to find something that's easy for them to do is and free is the goal.
Very cool.
Okay, thank you. Up next is our security spotlight, and Mike Gioia is joining me again. And Mike, guess what day it is?
Let me think. Is it Worldwide Data Backup Day?
Yes, it is. Right. World Backup Day.
I guess as the security guy, I'm kind of in the know.
Yeah, but and maybe people don't think of backups as security, but it's certainly, you know, a piece of the security.
It definitely is. Here on campus, I'm responsible for disaster recovery, which backups are a very big part of disaster recovery, because you can't recover from a disaster if you don't have backups.
Right.
You would be starting from scratch. It wouldn't be considered a recovery process.
Not only that, but you also need to periodically test those recovery processes, because if there is a flaw in the system.
Right. And we do 1 to 2 tests annually, different systems. We actually did a pretty good test a couple of weeks ago with our data operations centers, which is where all our servers are and all of our data is. We actually brought it down and used the backups from it and brought it back up. As successful as could be.
Yeah, for the central services.
Right.
But one thing that we sometimes get in trouble, particularly in K-12 and also, you know, here, anywhere you have personal computers and they're kind of distributed, you're only as good as that last backup.
Sure.
So, you know, it's the end user's responsibility to make those backups periodically. And I've recently started changing the question that I ask. It's like, you know, when's the last time you backed up, to, you know, what would happen if you woke up this morning and your computer would not turn on?
Right. It's a better way to think about that, because it's always, oh, I'll get to it when I get to it. I'll get to it soon. And I'll wait another day and get to it. But then it's like, okay, reality here.
Right. When you need it, you're only as good as that last time that you backed up. And it's an awful feeling to know that it's like, oh, it's been a week, a month, a year, you know. So at least on World Backup Day, please back up out there.
Yeah. I mean, really, in actuality, no one cares about your data but you.
Right.
So that's what you need to assume. I mean, you know, we try to recommend that, you know, faculty and staff back up all their, or back up or put all their data on the server shares, because we you know, we back that up.
Yeah, when they're available, but not everybody has that.
Right. So, and then, you know, I've had a couple times where a computer did crash and they're like, can you get my data back? Well, I mean, kind of.
Yeah, sometimes, and it depends upon the nature, you know, the nature of the crash. And with today's new SSD drives, you know, that's one thing that's always concerning when this new technology comes out. Like on a spinning platter drive, you know, the tools have been out there and pretty mature. But I've been reading a lot and trying to get up to speed with some of that. I was reading an article from a Kingston engineer on SSD. And, you know, sometimes there's just not any warning sides on, you know, a solid state device.
Right.
It either works or it doesn't. So, again, you're only as good as that last backup.
Right. And now with also with the new exploits being, they just encrypt your data.
Right.
You know, they don't even give you viruses that, you know, you may be able to get rid of or be able to get to your data enough to get off, rewrite your whole hard drive and put your data back on because the malware may isolate. I mean, they're just encrypting the whole drive.
Yeah.
And the only way to, there's really no way to get that data off at all unless you have the key.
Right.
And I'm not really about supporting terrorism or
the most illegal people. Activity, yeah. Essentially extortion or whatever you want, whatever you want to call it.
So again, you're only as good as your last backup in that case. And that could happen just by browsing out on the website. It's not even about equipment failure.
Right. So not only do we have to worry about the malware threats, the possibility of, you know, equipment failure. And we're coming up, I noticed on the news this morning, looking at the weather forecast, you know, thunderstorms and things in the area.
Yep.
Natural disasters, electrical outages. It just takes, you know, one lightning strike or one surge to fry some electronics out there. So
Right. And, you know, like I said, equipment failures is very random. I lost my computer at home, my media computer at home. I mean, I have six drives and I didn't back up and I lost my drive that had all the TV shows that I have. You know, and we're talking 2 gigs worth of TV shows. That's a lot of TV shows that I am going to have to somehow either pay again or hopefully I can get them back through the means that I got them the first time.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, it's. And, you know, you can do that. I even tried the trick of throwing the hard drive in the freezer and reconnecting it to see if just because it was a magnetic spinning drive to see if the calibration was off. But no luck. So had to buy a new drive.
And then one of the things, you know, whenever I go out and talk about some of this is I also use the pain theory of backups.
Yeah.
If you're doing a lot of furious work, say it's the middle of the semester, you're grading tons of papers, you know, and doing all this, going through this flurry of activity, you know, if it would be painful to recreate, if something would happen again, once again, it's time for that backup.
Yes. Yes. And it may be the best solution for you to back up, especially personal stuff.
Right.
You know, here we just try to be careful that we don't want to send any sensitive information that's university
right.
information.
You need to make sure you follow your organization's policies on that because, you know, there's different policies out there for different organizations. But also even in the cloud, because once again, we get into this comfort zone, I kind of have what I call a system working with the net where I always have a copy. You know, I have a local copy and then I would upload it to the cloud. So I still kind of have it two places.
Right.
Because I can't imagine what would happen if, for some reason, you know, Google reset my password or they were doing some maintenance on some servers and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, we just, you know, got rid of this block of user IDs. And you don't really have a person that you could go to. You know, good luck getting hold of somebody at Google, you know.
Right.
But that's going to be, you know, priority one for you. You know, whenever you realize, you know, all of your information's out there.
Yeah. And like I said, only you care about your data. Right here, we'll try as help as best we can. Someone's computer crashed. We'll see if we can get the data off.
So if you need some help, you know, make sure you go out there and find your IT person. Should also mention if you're making the local backups to make sure that you keep those in a locked drawer or secure location because, once again, that's data out there. So you want to make sure it's secure.
Yes. Yeah, especially if you're using external hard drives or thumb drives. You know, those things get lost very easily. Make sure you know where they are.
So, you know, kind of leading into that, another item in the news just this morning, I saw the Dropbox. There was a DMCA takedown notice for one of their users.
Yeah, and it wasn't so much a takedown notice. The user had the rights to the file, supposedly.
So this is one of those cloud storage situations where a user put up a file, and I don't know if it was a movie or
and they shared it with another Dropbox user or someone else. And by doing that, they got flagged with a DMCA notice or
copyright notice. Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
So they didn't delete the file, they didn't delete the folder, they just prevented the action of
sharing
it. That kind of gets into the gray area of copyright infringement because if he purchased it legally, I mean, it's his copy to do whatever he wants with. But the record industry or movie industry doesn't see it that way. So yeah, it's something that take notice with that.
With all this cloud storage and things out there. So those scans are going on. Yes. On some services.
And in fact, they go on with a lot of services. They're scanning everything. I mean, we even got a notification for a publication, a peer-reviewed journal article that was posted publicly that shouldn't have been.
Right.
That was the first one of those we ever saw. But even that industry is getting into it now.
Yeah.
On protecting what they deem as copyrighted material.
Okay. All right. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. I'll provide a link in the show notes. But today, March 31st, 2014, is World Backup Day. And the website's worldbackupday.com. And I need to go make a backup of my computer because I've not done that today.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go do that at lunchtime.
Yep. So thank you. Up next is our technology pick of the week, and I thought I would let Brian Murley go first here since he's our guest. So you kind of have a tool of the week. So what do you have to share?
Yes, my tool this week was a program called Skitch, S-K-I-T-C-H. Mm-hmm. I always have to spell these things out with this new Web 2.0 terminology. But it is owned by Evernote, and it is a annotation and screenshotting software, again, free from the internet. You download it. It's available for any platform, and you can take screenshots of web pages. You can take screenshots of your screen. You can take a webcam shot, and then from there you can annotate your screenshot very easily: arrows, text, any kind of boxes, stuff like that. Really easy to use, and then you just export it as a JPEG or PNG or whatever format you want to use. And it's a lot easier to use than like programs like Photoshop
or Paint or
something like that.
It's great pick, especially for teachers, because what I like for a teacher for annotating, like just simply drawing an arrow with a point, like pay attention to this piece here or whatever it might be, and it's really easy. It's free, isn't it?
It's free. Yes.
So, okay, great app pick. All right, Mike, what do you have?
Mine's probably a little lame compared to everyone else's, but I was struggling for tech picks. But I found this. I remember, growing up, because I'm still growing up, but when I was younger, I always had a Swiss Army pocket knife. And then after September 11, 2001, it was like wasn't good to be carrying around a knife all the time. And it got just weird. But I always missed the toothpick and the screwdriver, and because you never know when you need like a little screwdriver or a toothpick or something, just you need to like pop something out of a little hole or so I found this pretty interesting one. It's called In One Case, and it's IN the number one case, and it's for like iPhones, and I have for Android phones too. Is it has all these little multi-tools in the case that you just pop out, just like the toothpick and the tweezers from
it's like MacGyver's case.
Yeah, right. It has a pen and a pencil and a whole bunch of different things. Filer. I don't know if it has a knife or not, but I just thought it was interesting. It's got a little stand. So I mean, sometimes you're always running around and trying to do something, and you're sitting there and like, oh man, I wish I had a screwdriver right now, or my glasses, the screw in my glasses is falling loose or something like that. So I just thought it was interesting that someone thought of that, kind of taking the Swiss Army knife approach and morphing it into with your phone, because everyone always has their phones on them now.
Heck yeah.
Okay. All right. Very Cindy.
Cool. All right. Well, mine is just from an email I received that I had a credit for the ebook settlement that just came out. And so I got an email this week that said from iBooks or iTunes, it said my credit was ready to be activated. And so I'm not sure how many books I bought. I also have, Barnes & Noble and
Amazon,
iTunes, all these different ones. So not sure what I have where, but that's the only one I've received so far. And then I did find that what the credits are going to be, and if it's a New York Times bestseller, it's $3.17 per ebook. But if it's a non-New York Times bestseller, it's only 73 cents. So if you bought from that New York Times bestseller list, which I'm curious how they picked that criteria and all, but so, I may have a dollar or two credit in my account.
So if you have an iTunes account and you've been buying iBooks, you might want to check your email for some credits.
Yeah, they might be there. So then, buy another book.
Okay.
All right, to wrap up here for the Tech Picks, I'm going to point you to a blog post that I just finished up this week. And here at EIU, all of our classrooms are what we call technology enhanced. And I've been doing a lot with wireless video displays. And that does not work very well with older style VGA projectors. But I happened to come across a nice HDMI to VGA adapter box. And I'll provide a link in the show notes. But the name of this blog post is Convert Your VGA Projector into a Wireless Display Using Miracast. And there's actually two little magic black boxes to make this work, but you can turn any VGA projector into a wireless video display to support Miracast. And then I just tried this last night at home with my little Chromecast. It also works with that, so I can hook it up through VGA. So if you're a school out there that has, you know, some older equipment and can't afford $1,000 or more for a new HDMI projector, for about $80, you can turn it into a wireless display here. So I've got a nice little picture here labeled with how I connect everything, and then also a couple of links out there to the actual parts that I'm using. So that's my tech pick. That wraps it up for episode 163 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. I'd like to thank our special guest, Brian Merley, for coming on today, and also my co-hosts, Cindy and Mike. So to leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
I'm Cindy Rich.
I'm Mike Joya.
And I'm Brian Merley.
Keep on learning.